Blog Talk Radio.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. You're tuned in to the Earl Morgan Hour. Please stand by. PM, 3/11/2015.
So you got the call in number, right? 714-888-7. Okay. Thank you. You're on.
All right.
This episode is brought to you in part by.
You're on. This is the Earl Morgan Hour. You're standing by?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Yes. Okay.
973, you standing by?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great.
I'm on. Okay. Good evening, Blog Talk Radio audience. This is Earl Morgan, your host for the Earl Morgan Hour. Sorry for the delay, but we've had some technical difficulties, and we finally seem to have been able to overcome. My show tonight, I have two guests. Sandra Webster. president of the Jersey City chapter of Phi Delta Kappa, and her sister Sora, Verna Sims, also of Phi Delta, well, she's a sister Sora, so you know she's Phi Delta Kappa. And we're going to be discussing the work this fraternity, sorority, whoa, boy, talk about a Freudian slip, the work this sorority is doing in a program they're running in Jersey City, which provides thousands of students in the city with a hot meal in the evening. The program has been operating with some glitches every now and then, not of the making from for Phi Delta Kappa, but the program is up running now, and we want to talk a little bit about the program, and I want to know more about Phi Delta Kappa, because I got a sneaking suspicion that many of the members of this particular sorority are old and dear friends of mine. So I want to know if I have my guests on the line. Are Sandy and Verna there?
Yes, we are.
Oh, it's good to hear your dulcet tones. let me start with Sandy Webster. You know, this is, I got to tell you folks, I've known Sandy Webster forever. So it's not exactly a conversation I'm having with someone that's unknown. And Verna Sims, I know Verna Sims for a long, long time. Tell me, ladies, how long has this program been running, and how many children are you feeding, and what are you feeding them?
Well, the program has been running for, this is the third year. The third
right.
year that we've been running, but this year we are servicing 27 schools.
And how many students in...
Excuse me?
Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
27 schools. So yes. we're serving over 2,500 meals a day. We started out with a small number. We were serving maybe, I think, five locations. But now we're doing 27.
That's a lot of meals. That's a lot of logistics.
Yes.
What do you serve? What does a hot meal consist of?
It consists of, it's a regular meal of a meat, a vegetable, a starch. They are, dessert is like a fruit, and they have milk or a juice.
Okay. What? How did the sorority come to be sponsoring this program and operating it? How did that happen? What's the history of it?
Well, I'll allow Sandra to speak on that.
Okay.
Well,
yes,
a management group came to us and asked us if we would be, they needed a non-profit sponsor, and they asked if we would be willing to be the non-profit sponsor. And since our sorority, which is the National Sorority of Phi Delta Kappa Incorporated, and we are Alpha Chapa, which means that we're the first chapter, we are located in Jersey City because that's where the sorority originated. We knew of the problems that many families have with getting proper nutrition. So we agreed to become the nonprofit co-sponsor or the sponsor state. We had to be approved by the state. And we went through the approval process, and we were approved by the New Jersey Department of Agriculture to be a sponsor. And so that's what we did. We became a sponsor. And as Verna stated, we started off small. This is our third year, and we have been growing each year, but this is our biggest year because we're servicing 27 schools at this time.
27 of Jersey City's, I think it's, what do we have, 42? Well, we're talking about elementary schools, right? Elementary
right.
students?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And is there a certain grade level or any of the elementary students in, you know, from K through 8 eligible to be participate in this program?
It's any child that is in an after-school program. So
okay.
we have the cast for children, extended day children, and 21st century children. All of these programs work within the schools.
Okay. This program is working. Though this is operating now in Jersey City, this program is actually a program that is national, isn't it? Don't they do this in other areas beside, or other locations or municipalities and states beside New Jersey?
I really don't know what other states are doing, but I do know that New Jersey does sponsor it throughout the state. And Newark had a very large program, the Newark Public School Systems. They had a very large program, and I think they still are doing it. But I'm not sure about other states.
Well, let me ask you this, Sandy. Sandra, I should say.
No, you can call me Sandy. Everybody does.
I've been calling you Sandy for what?
Sandy, right.
40 years. It's a habit. I just heard from Verna that the sorority is, you're the Alpha chapter of Phi Delta Kappa, which means the first. When did the sorority start?
We started in 1923. Eight young teachers decided that they wanted to have a sorority. They wanted a teaching sorority, though, because everyone in our sorority is in the field of education. So you can be a teacher on any level, or a person that is working in the educational field, but you need to have your teaching certification. And so that's what happened.
Okay.
So they started at eight, and it's spread. Now we're spread across the country, and we are our
we have
mission
127
is,
chapters now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Our mission is youth education and service. So that's another reason why we wanted to do the food program, because we felt that we would be helping the youth, giving them service by bringing the meals, and also educating them nutritionally on what they should be eating for a proper meal.
And all the membership are educators, in other words.
Yes.
I have a point of information here or revelation. Vernon Sims actually was my grandson's teacher at one point, so
yes,
I know she teaches, and I know I must know a lot of people probably who are in your sorority, because I know many of the people who you guys came up with in Jersey City or grew up with who are now teachers. I wanted to ask this question because recently we lost a very, very good kindergarten teacher here. Sandra Stallworth.
Yes.
Another
mm-hmm.
Sandra. Was she a
yes.
member
mm-hmm.
of the sorority?
No, she wasn't a member of our sorority. I think she might have been a member of another one, but she wasn't of ours.
Well, the only reason I'm asking it, I got a call from Carolyn Nelson, who you both know,
mm-hmm.
that she had died, and it was a stunning shock because Sandy was reputed to be, and from what I've seen was true, one of the best kindergarten teachers this city's ever seen.
Yes, she was.
And
yes.
And you know, that's the sobriquet kit that you'd like to have if you're living or not living.
Right.
Are there any other activities at this point that the sororities or programs that the Phi Delta Kappa Jersey
yes.
City chapter is running?
We have our youth program, which are our high school young men and young ladies. The young ladies are the Xenos, XINOS, and they are from 9th grade to 12th grade. And we have our Kudos, KUDOS, which are also high school age young men. And what we try and teach them is leadership and self-sufficiency, and also how important it is to be educated. And
what's, yeah, well, yeah, it's very important to be educated. what schools in Jersey City are these two programs functioning in right now? Can you tell me?
Well, we have students from academic, Snyder
High School.
Yes, Snyder High School. And we also have students from like Bayonne. They live in Jersey City, but they may go to, you know, like Marist. I know we have some students at Marist. And we have students that are, they don't
Hudson
all,
Catholic.
Right, Hudson Catholic. They don't all live in Jersey City, but they are part of our group. But we are open to having more young people, come and become a, they have to go through what we call a pledge period where they learn about the organization. And if they have to have a certain grade level, et cetera. So, but we work with them because we are working with them trying to help them become good citizens, self-sufficient, and to become good, strong young men and young women.
I have to ask this question to both of you. Either one of you can give me an answer, both of you, because you said that the young ladies are the Zenos, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know where I'm going with this question, right, Sandy? The Zenos, I remember something called a sorority that we had in high school called the Zenos. There was another sorority called the Seppers. Now, if I remember correctly, Sandy, why don't you remember one of those two?
I was a member of the Zenos. I was a Zeno when I was in high school, right?
All right.
Never realizing that I might become a member of the actual teaching part.
You know, this is interesting because having come through the Jersey City school system and have been in a fraternity myself, I was a Kappa, I can remember when the Zenos and the Seppers were the campus queens. And I remember, y'all were. Come on now. I can remember what pledging was like in those days. You don't do that anymore, do you?
No, they don't. We
pledge,
did a lot of crazy things in those days, but they don't do that. They have, what they do is they come in and what I'm really, they really learn about the sorority. I mean, they they make a gift for their, they're assigned a member who becomes either their big sister or their big brother. They make a gift for their big brother or big sister when they have the going over ceremony. But and they during the time that they are pledging, they do bonding activities, they do fundraising, so they can learn how to what it's like to be in the sorority or not in the sorority, but to be in the youth group, because they're
and
not
how
can,
to work
not,
together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they network with other pledge groups, etc. It's a very, very good experience because we also have the hub parents, which because if your child is in the youth group, you have to have a parent that is involved with the sorority. And that they're a member of what we call the hub parents.
Well, I'm sort of glad you don't do what they used to do, especially if it was for the young men, because I pledged a few people. As a matter of fact, I pledged your brother, Sandy.
Yes, I know.
Horatio.
Yeah. All my brothers were Kappas.
I can remember
in
what
school.
That was like.
And they all became Kappas in real life.
But there was one interesting part of that whole thing I want to bring out in terms of you two, you ladies. Now, I know you two, Sandy. I've known you for, God, I don't know. I'm trying to remember, I didn't know you. Bern, I've known you for a long time. I know you're people where you come from here in Jersey City. But what's interesting about where we came through those days, I call us civil rights babies. because we were all coming up in the middle of that turmoil and that stuff that was going on back there. And it affected our lives, and it affected how we – and education was a huge part of that. And I can remember, I was talking to someone today about it, and I said, you know, you could barely get through a day or a week without somebody saying to you, boy, get an education, or girl, get an education. And usually those people that were saying that to us didn't even have an education.
Right.
But they knew that was the answer. And it became like something in the air. I mean, I'm going to tell you young brothers out there how different it was. You couldn't get any girls if you weren't going to school. You know, I mean, seriously. You had to be doing something. Because in those days, you go to take a girl out, which I don't know how to do this sort of thing these days. The new generation. But I know if you went to Sandy or Vernon's house, and you're standing there, first thing you're going to get from their mother, do I know your people? Where do you live from?
Well, that is true. That is true. That is true.
I mean, it was like that back there. And I hope you all are sponsoring, I mean, you know, trying to inspire some of that. As tough as that was, because I went through it a few times, it was all
we do try and inspire. As a matter of fact, our young people are getting ready for
conference
where they go and they are doing competitions. They have talent. They have a step show. They have oratorical. They have Scholar of the Year. And it all culminates with a big dance, big dance that they have where they are dressed in formal wear, et cetera. So, we try and work on showing them different aspects of life and what they can become and things to aspire to.
Speaking of aspiring to things, you gave us an idea of what it takes to be a member of either one of these, either the fraternity or the sorority. And you were talking about grades. And you mentioned that you have to have certain grades. I'm interested in talking about that with you because, you know, this whole, both of you guys have been teachers. And you've been through it. I mean, talk about being forged in the fire. I went down to do a story on the Million Men at 22 School when, what is her name, was the president. You know her if I can think of her name. I'm getting old and I don't
remember. The principal, you're talking about Cassandra Wiggins?
Cassandra Wiggins. I spent 3 days down there, and it was enough to convince me, I don't know if I could ever do this job. It is not easy, people, let me tell you.
No, it's not easy being a teacher.
No.
People don't realize how hard it is.
And the reason I'm mentioning that is while I was down there, I had an occasion to – I asked Cassandra to get me some students together so I could talk. I'd gone down to do a story on some guys that were out functioning as what the kids call them the Million Men. They were from the Million Men March, and they were volunteering to work in the school. And so I said, at the end of it, I wanted to talk to some students and see what they were, you know, what they wanted to do with their lives and all. And oddly enough, Sandy, one of the kids was Dee Dee Dutton's nephew, if you remember Dee Dee Dutton. But what bothered me a bit was some of them, the boys all either wanted to be basketball players, football players, or baseball players.
They wanted to be sports figures.
Yes, sports. And I began to see that one of the problems that we were having there was that that was their idea of what black men, and I have to say 22 School is and still is, was and still is predominantly black. I got to understand that that was what they thought black men did with their lives. That's what we should aspire to. And it kind of concerned me because, you know, we're also doctors and lawyers and filmmakers, and we do all kinds of things, and pharmacists, and so I got a little concerned that we need to open that up. It seems like that's what you guys are trying to do with your two organizations.
You're trying to give them
a broader view of life?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah. Because this is, I don't know, Sandy, rather Verna, let me ask you this question. Because, you know, we both of us know what's going on in the city. One of the things that seems to have happened is that our youngsters live in this 10-block bubble. Maybe it's a little bit more, but they don't seem to see that there's life outside that bubble. I know I'm going to talk a little bit about another Webster, Elnardo Webster, who has been on this program, incidentally, and is the other half of Sandy Webster. She's the better half, but he's there too. I've worked in I've watched some of the programs he's had, and I know that they have a program. Part of what they do is take kids in the summer, in their summer school, which is very much different than the summer school we remember, because the only reason you went to summer school when we were in school is because you flunked something. But they're taking kids down there in the summer to, they're busing them from their schools to St. Peter's University, and the kids spend all day there. And I've seen it. You know, when these kids first get to St. Peter's University, it's like they're on the moon. They've never seen a university or a college.
Well,
what I don't understand is they're not that far away from a university or college. They live close to one, but it was like they're in another planet. They have no concept of it.
The program that Dr. Webster runs, the 21st century program, they do take their students on a lot of field trips to try and show them other aspects. They do go bowling, they go skating, they go to educational tours. They do a lot of things.
The reason I mention this part of it, though, Sandy, is that those kids know some of that exists, but they're still so closed in that the program, the 21st century program, and your program is all about opening up the world for them. So so much more they can do.
And our youth advisors are constantly planning activities for them. Like during the Christmas holidays, they went over to New York to see the tree and to have dinner over there, just to give them different experiences. So they, a lot of the parents don't have, they're trying to do so many things that sometimes that they're not able to take the kids to different places. So we try, and there are other organizations also that try and expose the students.
Yes, there are.
Exposure is what is going to help them, like you said, get out of their bubble. Because they have to, if you only see a limited view, that's all you're going to know. You have to be exposed to other things so that you can realize that there are other things that we can aspire to. And that is one of the things that the National Sorority of Phi Delta Kappa tries to do with the kids. And youth is, they're our main mission. That's the first in our YES program. It's the Y, and that's for youth. So
really... two things. One, just where are you located in Jersey City? Where's your office at
we
right
have
now?
Verna, you want to give that information? Verna? Did she get cut off? Well,
I hope not.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. We're at 155 Martin Luther King Drive, between Stegman and Dwight Streets.
I asked that question for a specific reason. I know pretty much where it is, but I want people to understand that you guys are right in the belly of the beast.
Right.
Right where it needs to be.
And the office hours are 10 to 5 weekdays.
Uh-huh, 10 to 5 weekdays. Give that address again, please.
155 Martin Luther King Drive. And we have, our name is on the awning, so, I mean, when people, you know, they can see that when they pass by, hopefully. we're there because we want to be a presence in the community, and we want the community to realize that we're educators here to work with the community and to work with the school system. And that's why one of the reasons why we have the food program, that Verna is the project director of the food program, and she works very, very hard coordinating a lot of the things. And we also have SORAs working in it that are monitors. They go from school to school to make sure that things are being
that
met.
That the meals are correct. And
right. And the menus are posted. They have a it's a five-piece nutrition meal that is approved by the state.
I understand that the screening process that you go through to be able to sponsor this is rather rigorous. They make dotted, every I is dotted.
It is
and every
very,
T is
it
crossed.
Is very rigorous. It is very rigorous.
And we
had to get permission from our national office first, because we can't just do anything just because we want to. So we wrote and got permission from the national office, and but it is a business, and Verna runs it like a business. It has to be run like a business because it's an everyday, daily job.
And I'm sure they watch you like a hawk, so you don't want to make any mistakes.
Well, they have very stringent regulations from the state that have to be met. So, yes, and the state does come in and they monitor, or what they call audit the program. So,
okay.
Verna,
she
might
want
to speak a little more on that.
Yes, please, Verna. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, they come in to check our files. To make sure that, because they give us money for the meals. So they come in to check the files, to look at the list of children, to make sure that the meals are being served in the proper way and that the monies are being used for the proper thing. It has to be used for the program.
The children receive the meals at no cost to themselves because Jersey City is a at-risk district. So,
I'm going to say this about that, because I wondered about that, about the children getting these meals. And I talked to someone, both of you know who I will not mention now, and I said, is it really that serious about eating? And she said to me, there are some of these homes in our city, unfortunately, where this may be the only odd meal these kids are going to get. And I thought that was a rather shocking statement. But when I walked around and I talked to people and I dug a little deeper, I found out we do have an issue there, and that you're feeling it's not just, something you're doing because it's something you're doing. It's really filling a need that in many cases is it absolutely needs to be filled. To make sure that our children have a nutritious meal,
and if your child is hungry, they can't learn. That's another thing they have to think about too. They have to be able to have a full stomach and not worry about where their next meal is coming from, so that they can sit in the classroom and learn. Yourself, if you're hungry, you're grouchy and you don't feel like doing what you need to do. You want to eat. If it just comes down to the basic things. So we're just trying to make a small footprint in the fight of hunger.
The other thing I did want to talk to you guys about, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but I have to say something about this because I'm bothered by it. Teachers are catching a hard day, a hard road to hoe these days from everybody. They think you're getting too much money, you're not working hard enough, and you're having your living high on the hog at the expense of the public. And the reason I'm mentioning that, I have a lot of teacher friends, a lot of whom you know, And I don't get the, you know, and they don't talk too much about the other end of the job. And I often say, well, I don't understand. You're going down to Target to buy school supplies. As a matter of fact, our teachers have bought so many school supplies from Target that they give you teachers a discount. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, okay, but we have a large budget. Large
1 minute to closing. 1 minute.
School supplies.
1 minute to wrap.
So what is the story there?
Well, I think all teachers always augment their classroom with purchasing items. And I think maybe it's the ordering process that it does take a while to get the supplies that you would like to have to supplement and help the learning process. So a lot of teachers, they just go, rather than go through that process, they do it. I mean, the district does give a certain amount of supplies, but they are after, you know, they after what, like December or so?
Yes.
What do you think, Verna? About that time they start, you know, running out,
they
or they have to reorder.
They
reorder, et cetera, but they have to. Teachers, when they want something, a lot of times it takes a while for them to get it. So they would just go out and get it so that they can have it when they would like to have it to work with
their classes. But do you see what I'm saying? People who are saying, wow, these teachers, you're paying, you're spending your own money.
Well, you know what it is?
Nobody's making
it. Teachers are looked down upon in America, unfortunately. And if you go to other countries, teachers are treated much differently and paid much. They're paid much better. And if you look at the studies, they tell us that teachers should be paid like doctors because they are just as important. And
I have to interrupt.
Okay, I hear your closing music. Okay.
And I just wanted to, first of all, I want to thank both of you for not only being on our show, but for doing what you do, doing what you've always done. So I'm going to be up there to take a closer look at the sorority and what you're doing in the next week or two. So until then, and say hello, Sandy, to, you know, Big and Lil L. And DeMarco for me. All of whom
will
have been on my show. And Vernon, same thing. So they say hello to the family and me. And I will see both of you soon. Have a good night.
Okay,
good night.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Both of you.
Okay.
Thank you for doing this.